to the nursery. I believe Miss Michelle is on her way out. Oh, I have a big card right here I'm about to read. It's not very long, but I'm going to read it to you. These girls did send a thank you card. Those of you who came and supported their the hot chocolate and goodies last week, those girls raised $1,036 to go towards new microphones. Amen. Plus another 20 today. That's right. The girls did say thank you for the generous donations, and they have some personal cards here too that they passed out for some people. But we are thankful for those ladies that listen. They see a vision inside their church, and they're willing. You know, they could go out and raise money for themselves pretty easy. And you know what? The truth is, they probably would have raised the same amount of money, and they could have split it between themselves and had a good shopping trip. But I like young ladies and young men that see the vision that the Lord has given them. Amen. That will take them so much further, so many more rewards in eternity for that kind of help. Amen. So thank you for supporting them. And, you know, it's important that we as a church get behind them. When these young people see things like that and they step out by faith and do the work, I think it's important that we as a church do exactly what we did, and we encourage them to keep going. Amen. So thank you again, Miss Molly, for kind of being the one behind all that. She don't like to be noticed, but, you know, she helps them out a lot, her and Miss Judy, Miss Crystal, Miss Ashley, and all those moms that are involved there. I appreciate parents that encourage their children to keep going for the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to move right along in our study of godly soul ties, and we'll get into some ungodly soul ties tonight as well. Go with me to the book of 2 Samuel chapter number 20. 2 Samuel chapter number 20 tonight. We'll start there. 2 Samuel chapter number 20. We'll be in verse number 2. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and for your truth, Lord. I thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now to just meet with us in a special way tonight, Lord. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place tonight. Lord, as we continue to learn about some godly soul ties and as we go into ungodly soul ties, help us not be offended, Lord, but help us learn, Lord, from your word, and that thy word is truth, O Lord, and I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, if we see warnings, Lord, that maybe we have stepped over the boundaries of what you said is okay, Lord, help us to just be okay with what you said and not worry about what our flesh wants, Lord, as we know in this flesh dwelleth no good thing, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I'm thankful that in and of myself I'm nothing, but Lord, through you I'm everything. And because of you, Lord, we are something. Now, Lord, I ask you tonight to just be with us, Lord. Again, just meet with us, Lord. Touch the minds and hearts of your people tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We had begun talking about some godly soul ties in the Bible. We talked about Paul and Timothy, Joshua and Moses, Elisha and Elijah. And this is the fifth and godly soul tie that we'll cover before we go into some ungodly soul ties. The fifth and godly soul tie is pastoral and authority soul ties. 2 Samuel 20, in verse number 2, the Bible says, so every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, but the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even unto Jerusalem. The scriptures establish that a godly relationship of submission to God-ordained authority can result in a healthy soul tie. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again. I could tell you countless times where, and again, I'm not talking about your pastor being your boss or even your best friend, but I can tell you this. I'm thankful that my pastor in my life got me to a point where not only I realized that he loved me and that I loved him, but I could trust him, and I trusted him in the aspect of that I knew he prayed for me. Not only did I marry his daughter, I mean his grandchildren live in my house. No doubt he spent countless hours praying for me and lifting my name up to the Lord, and I know this because there's been times where I've been to him in the past and I'd say, listen, I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. And sometimes it'd be pretty blunt, like, son, you're crazy. You know that's not God, that's your flesh. And I'd have to be like, well, how do you know that? He said, just pray about it. And you know when they say just pray about it, you know, they already know what's right sometimes. And listen, don't be afraid to take advice from someone who prays for you. It might not necessarily be your pastor. It might be your youth pastor, your youth pastor's wife. Teenagers, listen, you ought to develop a relationship with the men and the women that invest time into your life. Little kids, Sunday school teachers, listen, you ought to be praying for those little kids every single week. Their names ought to be going up to heaven. Nursery workers, those babies' names ought to be going up to heaven. When they see you, they should see someone that they can trust. They should see, hey, there's some help. If I ever need anything, I can go to that person for advice. And listen, you ought to be prayed up and ready to give them some godly biblical advice when they come to you. I promise you there'll be a time in your life, it might be years down the road. I get phone calls today from young men that I had in our youth group 10, 15 years ago. He'll say, Brother Drew, I can't believe this is going on. What do you think I should do? I'm like, well, why'd you call me? I haven't talked to you in 10 years. Because I knew you cared. And you showed me that you cared back then. You stayed on me back then. You told me when I was wrong. You told me when I was right. You didn't beat around the bush. And can I say, people need that? By the way, they need that kind of preaching. That kind of preaching has become extinct in our country. It's become extinct in our independent Baptist churches. I'm tired of cookie cutter preachers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When the Bible says it's wrong, folks, it's wrong. When the Bible says it's right, it's right. The Bible's still true. We're still liars. Let God be true. And every man a what, church? A liar. It's not about what we want or what we desire. It's about what God wants. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, for so is the will of God. Hebrews 13, 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Notice the word must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Ephesians 4, chapter number 8. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter number 4. You know, I thought about that verse in Hebrews, and I began to think as I was developing this relationship with my preacher, you know, the truth is he is my pastor and he is going to give an account one day for me. And you know, if he's leading me right and leading me spiritually and biblically, telling me what I should and should not be doing, and I simply just obey God's word that he has instructed me, listen, you know, the Bible says he can give an account for you with joy. And you know, if your pastor can't stand before God one day and give an account to God with joy for you, the Bible says it's unprofitable to you, not to me. It's unprofitable for you. I began to think, I sure would hate for my pastor to stand before God and be ashamed to give an account for me. You know what I'm saying? I would not want to sit back and disgrace everything that I've been given to be true. And just make a mockery of the Bible and a mockery of the church and a mockery of the ministry. I would love for my pastor to be able to stand up and be excited to give an account for me. Let me tell you about that guy. And God already knows anyways, right? But man, that's exciting to think about. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 8, the Bible says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. We talked about some spiritual gifts this morning. I hope you have figured out what yours is. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But here's why. For the perfecting of the what, church? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the what? Body of Christ. Notice there again, you see all these different gifts coming together for a specific reason. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. These verses list gifts that were given from Jesus to the church. Men with callings and offices are to mature and train the saints for the work of the ministry, thus edifying the body of Christ. I would love to challenge every man, woman in here, man and woman in here, to find someone younger than you. Maybe even, they might be older than you. They might be what we would call a baby Christian. But find someone that you can take under your wing and say, listen, I'm going to make it my duty from this day forward to edify you, to strengthen you, to pray for you, to help you be accountable, and I want you to do the same for me. Find someone in the church. Some of you may have that already, but listen, ladies, what are these young ladies going to do one day if we don't train them to get where you have gotten spiritually? Men, what are we going to do if all these boys just remain spiritual boys instead of becoming spiritual young men and taking what God has given them in the Bible? Listen, how do they do that? They take it by other men giving them, being examples to them and showing them, not just in these doors, but out there. You know, it sure would be cool if this generation, man, I'll tell you what, it'd be good if some men would take some boys and take them and teach them how to work. Y'all okay with that? I'm talking about how to pick up a hammer and drive a nail, how to use a measuring tape for crying in the rain, how to use a saw, how to cut some deer meat up, how to go run a piece of equipment. Listen, you'd be surprised what you could do. Make a difference in those boys' lives. They don't need to be 25 and 30 years old sitting on their mama's couch playing video games, letting their wives go support them. Oh, got a little quiet there for a minute. Look, I'm just being honest. Men need to go to work and take care of their families. So what do we do about that? Well, find one, and here's the hard part. It's going to be tough, but instead of judging him and condemning them, look past what may have gotten them there. They may not have had a dad to teach them. They may not have had a family to grow up to teach them. You say, young man, listen, I notice you've been coming to church. Is there a way that I can help you? Invite him over to your house. And when he gets there, have a log splitter and about two cords of wood ready. Say, this is what we're going to do today. I'm going to feed you a nice dinner. My wife's going to make you some good sweet tea. But here's, you ain't getting none of it till that stacked nice and neat. All split, straight, stacked. You know what I'm talking about? Looks good. And we're going to work. And here's the deal. Work with him. Teach him. You want it done this way? Show him how you want it done. Show him you're willing to do it. Ladies, likewise, listen. How is this generation of young ladies? I mean, do you see what's going on in our country right now? People are crazy. But why is it? It's because the church is not doing its job. The church is failing. If each and every lady in this church right now could invest in a female over the next year, imagine where that young lady would be a year from now. She may have her babies in church. Y'all all right? If she just got a phone call and said, listen, it's 8:30 in the morning. We're on our way to church. Are you up? Are the babies up? Are they ready? And you might annoy them for the first couple of weeks. But pretty soon, they'll say, when are you going to stop calling me? You say, when you show up to church. That's when I'm going to stop. And then they get them babies in Sunday school, and those babies go home. They're excited about hearing about Jesus. You see what I'm talking about? This stuff's contagious. It wears off. But it only works if we put it to practice. One of the reasons so many people distrust their church leaders is because of broken soul ties with past leaders. Men in the churches who were trusted and to whom at least mentally submission was granted betrayed that trust, and the people were wounded. The enemy then uses that wound to keep them from giving themselves again to a man of God. A pastor can only function effectively if the bonds of love and trust have been established with his church. Trust between a pastor and his church must be like the trust between a doctor and his patient. A pastor should work to build strong spiritual soul ties in his ministry. He can do this by having a spirit of love and concern for the well-being for the believers in his charge. In an ungodly soul tie, now we've talked about good godly soul ties, but you know, with every good thing, there's always what? Something bad, right? Well, here we go. Here's some ungodly soul ties that we can find in the Bible. In an ungodly soul tie, one individual pulls another away from his commitment to God's laws or morality and obedience. You say, what are you talking about? Well, as we're going through these ungodly things, I want you to think about your friends, your family. Now, I'm not talking about mom and dad, kids. Listen, you obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. That is your only job as a child, to obey your parents. Do what you are told. But I'm talking about friends. I'm talking about family. I'm talking about coworkers. I'm talking about people within the church. Hey, if people in the church are constantly in your ear and constantly nagging and bickering and gossiping, hey, that's an unhealthy soul tie. Stop talking to those people all the time. Just look at them and say, listen, if you're not willing to go to the source about the problem, don't come to me. Because it causes issues. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Y'all all right? It's a real quiet in here right now. Everybody okay? Okay. Don't do that. It's unhealthy. You're just causing discord among the brethren. You're sowing. The Bible tells you to not sow discord among the brethren. What's the best way to do that? Find something that you are unhappy about, for Lord knows why, and go complain to somebody else about it. And then they'll listen, and then they'll go to the next person. And pretty soon, 8 or 10 people have heard about it before the source ever even is aware, because somebody had enough character amongst the gossip to go to the source and say, this has been going on. Man, it's quiet in here tonight. I'm not here to offend you, and if I am offending you, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You don't need to be doing that. It's wrong. It's unhealthy. And you should never start it, and you should never sit and listen to it. Amen. Been there, done that. Never had a good result come out of it. Y'all okay? Paul warns about these kind of relationships. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, these are some ungodly soul ties. People that pull you away from the things of God. People that pull you away from obedience to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So did you know a simple communication, a simple conversation with somebody, you could be having the best day in church that you possibly could have. You could be prayed up. Your Sunday school class could have went perfect. And pretty soon, that lady or that man might come up to you and whisper in your ear. And now you have a choice. Listen to the gossip or shut it off right now. The best thing you can do is say, listen, ma'am. Listen, sir. I will be happy to go to the source with you and talk about this. But if you're not willing to do that, this conversation is over. You'd probably get eyes about that big. Why? Because usually you're willing to listen. But listen, be the bigger person in the situation. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good what? Manners. The word communications here in the Strong's Concordance, it means companionship, intercourse, or communion. 1 Corinthians says, be not deceived. Evil communications, evil companionship, evil intercourse, evil communion, it corrupts, it defiles and destroys good manners, good morals, or good character. Do you see the importance of creating soul ties with someone who is constantly willing to sit back and gossip and gossip and gossip with you? Folks, listen, gossip is of the devil. It is not a godly attribute. It's not cute. It's not pretty. It hurts people. It tears people down. It splits churches in half. Listen, folks, you want to see a church split? Start a gossip session. I've seen it. Why do you think you can drive a mile and see 10 churches in a lot of towns? It all started in one church, but this group left and started this church, and then they couldn't agree, so they started 2 more churches, 4 churches, 8 churches. You see how it works? All because why? Because evil communication corrupted some good manners. How about we all just in unity believe what God said and stop doing that and be okay with not doing that? Ungodly soul ties with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. Turn with me there, please. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 6, forgive my voice. 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. This one's very important. And I know there are stories out there. And I'm not condemning you if when you got married, one of you were saved, one of you were lost, or both of you were lost. I'm just telling you the dangers of what could happen here. And God warns about this kind of fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with what church? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with what? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." I love this verse. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye what? Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." When our fellowship and social activities center around lost people, destructive soul ties can occur. Did you know that? You ever found yourself in a position where you have good intentions? Things are looking good. I mean, everything's going good. And all of a sudden, someone will ask you a question like, "Hey, you want to do this?" And in your mind, you're like, "Man, if I do that, I'm putting myself in a position to mess up." Anybody ever been there? But then you say, then you weigh, the flesh is warring against the spirit just as much as the spirit is against the flesh. And the flesh says, "Well, you don't have to do it. You can go hang out and communicate and have a good time. You don't have to drink." Y'all all right? You know what I'm talking about? And then when you get there, everyone's drinking and you had every intention on being the designated driver again. And all of a sudden the designated driver has got a beer in his hand and he's cracking the cap open. And now he's drinking and you call the preacher on Sunday morning and you say, "Preacher, I'm sorry, I made a terrible decision. I went there just to hang out. I had every intention on not doing that, but I did it again." Well, folks, why'd you do that? Because you chose to fellowship with unbelievers. You chose to fellowship with people who are not like-minded. Let me ask you this. What if you'd have been at the Bible study on Friday night? You know, I'm encouraging all the young men. Brother Blake has started a Bible study on Friday nights at his house. And you know, if you don't know, I'm not going to get into it, but if you don't know Brother Blake's past, listen, he came from darkness to light. You understand what I'm saying here? And he realized, he come to me, and we talk on a weekly basis, and he would say things like this, "Brother Drew, how can I not have the temptations to go to the places I used to go?" I said, "Man, why don't you start a Bible study on Friday nights?" He said, "Friday nights?" I said, "Yeah, bud. Friday nights, start a Bible study." You know what he did? He started a Bible study. Some of the same buddies that he used to be in the darkness with are there in his garage with the Bible open on Friday nights now. Y'all all right? Folks, that's how it works. If you want to replace bad, you've got to replace it with something what? Good. You're not going to be at the party if you're hosting the Bible study, I hope. Amen? Everybody shows up to your Bible study and you're out at the party. Well, where you at, bud? Carry on. You know, listen, replace the bad with what? Good. You're never going to get bad stuff out of your life without replacing it with something good. So, when our fellowship and social activities center around lost people, destructive soul ties can occur. Lot, you know Lot, he vexed his own righteous soul because of the ungodly soul ties he had in Sodom. They were so strong that the angels had to force him to leave Sodom. And you think about who Lot was. He was Abraham's nephew. Now, Abraham, the father of many nations, is that right? Listen, if Abraham's nephew can fall sore vexed to that sodomy lifestyle, can you fall vexed to that? Listen, folks, you got a target on your back because you're a Christian. And the more right you do, the bigger the bullseye gets for the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're not doing right and you're doing wrong in your mind, and you know... I say it like this, the devil's not going to attack someone that's fighting for his team. That's silly. But the more you do right, the more the devil is going to attack you. All through the Bible, we read of stories like that. And Lot's wife, you know, when God spared them out of, and you know God spared her out of Sodom, correct? And said, "Hey, don't even look back at that lifestyle. If you do," paraphrasing, "I'm going to turn you into a what? Pillar of salt." And listen, she was so sore vexed in her mind, her emotions, and her will that she just had to take one more look at the lifestyle. And can I tell you, you know why God said don't even look back at it? Because she was going to be tempted to go back to that lifestyle. And at that moment, God was ready, you know, and sometimes I believe God works like this. I think God loves us so much. When we do get to a point where we come out of a lifestyle, I do believe God is a just God. And please don't take what I'm saying out of context, but I do believe with all my heart that God loves us so much. Sometimes I believe he thinks that we're better off with him than going back to that lifestyle and making a mockery of his kingdom for the rest of our life. Y'all okay with that? Hey, I'm serious. I know a lot of young men. I knew a lot of young men that are in the grave today that used to be doing really, really good. And man, they would look back, and I don't know that, you know, I know one thing, it was their appointed time. I do believe that with all my heart. But I believe God would rather bring his child home than to see them go back into that wretched lifestyle, especially a saved man or woman. Now, an unsaved one, listen, his son died for that lost soul. I believe that he has more pity on lost people. Hey, think about it. You'd never be saved if he didn't. He has an awful lot of grace for lost people. Gives them an awful lot of chances. But folks, now that we're different, we're commanded to be separate and to be different and to come out from among the world. We should not fit in with the world. You say, I just don't fit in. Well, good. You should never fit in with the world. Ever. A dear friendship or soul tie that the devil may corrupt and spoil the soul. In Psalms 35, 11 through 14, the Bible says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. In Psalm 41:9, the Bible says, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Did you know people that you think are your friends? And I'm sure we could go through and ask questions, and every one of us could give examples of people that we thought were good people, were our friends, did us wrong. Folks, listen, the Bible's very clear. You should never have companionship. I'm not even talking about man and woman here. I'm talking about in general. You should never have a companionship, a soul tie with someone that's not like-minded. They just don't go together. Amen? They just don't. Make sure that any friend, here it is, even in the church, that you allow to come into this realm of a soul tie, be one of godliness, living and walking in the Spirit, and not a negative person. Amen? Because here's the deal. You hang out with negative all the time, what are you eventually going to be? Negative. And I don't know about you, but I'll just be honest. I don't like being around negative people. Now, I'm a pastor now. Thank the Lord he's given me this opportunity. But, you know, even being a youth pastor all those years, there's often times, and this was my job, you know, to help those young men and ladies that had problems. They'd come and it'd be a lot of negative, but man, when we got in group settings and everyone was smiling and happy, kind of like, you know, this morning, whenever, you know, and even tonight when you're giving testimonies, I just assume be around believers that smile and are positive and that encourage each other to be positive. Amen. Strengthen, edify, uplift the brethren, encourage them to be positive, not negative people. How about this one? A relationship that goes immoral. In 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 16, the Bible says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. When an immoral relationship takes place, folks, a soul tie is made. Satan can use that soul tie to destroy a person. Over and over again, I've been told, I lost my heart to her, or I gave my heart to him, or my life is so wrapped up in him or her, building unhealthy soul ties with a girlfriend or boyfriend or work associate will lead to that person becoming an immoral partner or lover, as the world likes to call it, through fornication or even homosexual acts or adultery. I'll take it further. Been there, seen that. Amen. I've seen it. I've seen, right? Listen, don't think just because you're married that you're exempt here. You go ahead and get too close to a woman, married man, and see what happens. By the way, what does your wife think about that? Everybody okay? It's real quiet in here. Way too quiet for me. Real quiet. Or lady, go ahead and get close to that fella at work because you're mad at him at home. And he's nice to you at work and sweet to you and buys you lunch. I've seen this stuff. Married women taking gifts from other men. Married men buying gifts for other women. You should never do that. Should never do that. It's not right. Your eyes should not look upon another woman as to lust after her in your heart. Why? Because the Bible says you've committed adultery in your heart already. Ever. There should never be a time where your eyes wander on another woman. There should never be a time where your eyes wander on another man. The hardest ties for the victim to understand and for the one ministering to discover are those which seem innocent, where nothing is happening. There was no actual physical contact nor any sexual contact, yet soul ties were formed. And can I say this? Bondage existed. When an ungodly soul tie is formed, guys, listen, Satan is going to use that against you. Under this area, there can be these pornographic soul ties. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about pornography. There's not a chance in this world that within this room right now, someone's not addicted to pornography. Say, what do you mean, preacher? I said it. Because studies have been taken, and 70% of the men that told the truth admitted they were addicted to pornography. Within the church, married men, 40% of women that took the survey admitted they were addicted to pornography. You say, well, we do it together, preacher. Folks, it's wrong. There's nothing godly about pornography. What if that was your daughter? How would you like it then? How many eyes would you put to her? How would you feel about the men that type your daughter's name into the computer? Everybody okay? Folks, it's somebody's daughter, isn't it? It's somebody's baby girl who the devil has stolen her joy. And the world has made her believe this is how you'll gain your joy. This is how you'll get rich. All to one day maybe settle down and get out of that thing and meet a young man that wants to have a family. But now he can't even live without jealousy in his heart because half the men in the world have seen his wife exposed. And what about you, married man and woman? How are you supposed to honestly say, I love my wife with all my heart, but yet your eyes wander 24/7? A lady can't walk by without you doing like this. And then somebody looks and you're like, oh, guys, we laugh at that stuff, but is that right or is it wrong? What is wrong with you? Images in your mind, allowing your eyes to roam. In Genesis 34, 2 through 3, the Bible says, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. But what did he do first? He saw her first. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel. Wrong relationships will lead to a soul tie. People have come to me and said, I think I am lovesick. Obsession takes place, and it actually can become very tormenting. One person cannot seem to get the other person out of their mind, and it ends up controlling their emotion and even the choices they make. We're going to unplug here. I'm going to ask my wife to come to the piano tonight. We're going to unplug right here. We got a couple things we need to take care of. But first, I want to, as the piano plays tonight,